been talking about up until now, we're in the middle of Parak Vav and Shoftim. We talked about Gidon and his relationship like Moshe Rabbeinu. We gave six similarities between him and Moshe so far, right? And the reason why he kept asking for a sign, what it says over here, asking for a sign, please don't move from here until whatever, is because simply put, Rav Sadia Gaon says, there was no lack of Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He needed to know he was talking to Hashem. He wanted to know this wasn't a fake. That's all he was doing over here. He wanted to make sure that it was something real. And the Kli Yakar says, in order to succeed, he had to mamish believe in what he was doing. He had to believe in himself. So he wanted a full-blown sign that what he was doing was legitimate, that it was an actual legitimate thing. Vayomar. This is in Pasuk Yutas. Parak Vav Pasuk Yutas. Vayomar. Anokhi Eshevat Shuvecha. I'm going to stay here, said the Malach, until you return. Vigidon Bavayask Di'izim. So Gidon went, right, and he made a gedizim, a goat, ve'efas kemach matzos abasser, and matzos, I'm sorry, he made a efa kemach of matzos. Some say that it was specifically matzah because it was Pesach time, which is also a connection to Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously. Habasser some basal, he put the meat in a basket, v'amarek some baparur, and he took the soup and he put it in a pava, yotei level tachza ila v'yagash, and he brought it to under the tree and he broached it. Now, first of all, if you remember, the whole problem with the Midianim is that the people were poor as dirt right now. They had no money. They had money, but they were all starving because nobody could make any food. The Midianim were destroying all of the food around there. That was a major problem. For him to take all of this food and bring it to the Malach was a serious sacrifice. That was a big sacrifice for him to do. And it says, "Van Vayomer Elov Malach Elokim, Kach Zabaser Vatz Matzav Anachal Asela Halos. Take the meat and the matzahs, put it by this rock, Vaz Amark Shvoch, and take the soup and pour it out." Vayaskeni did exactly that. Vayishal Malach Hashem Eskseh Amishen Asher Biyado. He took out his staff that he had in his hands. Vayigav Baser Matzos, and the Malach touched the baser and the matzah, right, the meat and the matzah itself. Batala Ish Minatzur. The fire came up from the rock. A fire came up from the rock. Vatochal Zabaser Vatz Matzos, and it consumed all of the meat as well as the matzahs. Malach Hashem Halach Meinov, and all of a sudden the Malach Hashem was completely gone. Absolutely completely gone. He couldn't see the Malach anymore. Right? And this is the cool thing over here. Now, Gidon did not eat together with the guest. The minhag at the time was that the host served the guests. He was around for the guests, but he stood and served them. He did not do anything else over here. The angel also told him to pour the soup over the meat. The reason why is, just like Be'elio and Avi, he wanted him to see that it was a pure miracle. The wetter it was, the harder it was for it to burn, the harder it was for that to happen. That's what happened over here. He wanted to pour it on, so when it did fire up and when it consumed completely, they saw it was not an accident. It was an absolute miracle. Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayar Gidon ki Malach Hashem hu. Gidon saw it was a Malach Hashem. Vayar Gidon aha Hashem Elokim. Ki al kein reizi Malach Hashem panim al panim. I've seen Hashem face to face. An eighth comparison to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face, panim al panim. And yes, and here Gidon is saying, I saw him panim al panim. Not literally, but the fact that it even says the word panim al panim, the same way it said the word Eheyeh before for Hashem's name, right? Panim al panim. Vayimelo Hashem shalom. Shalom lechan. Hashem said to him, you'll have peace. Al Tira, don't be afraid, Lotumus, you're not going to die. Even Shem Gidon Mizbeach, Hashem, and he built a Mizbeach for Hashem. This is not a Mizbeach. You're not allowed to bring a korban outside of the base of Mikdash. This instead was a monument that he put inside there. Vayikol Hashem Shalom, Adiyom Azeh. He called it Hashem Shalom until today. Odenu Ba'afrat, Avi Ezri. It's still in a city called Afrat, and Ofra is still existent today. It still was in that area over here. As a really quick idea over here, right? It's interesting, because why did he think he was going to die because he saw the Malach? Obviously, the Malach told him what he was going to do. Why do you think he was going to die? And it's such a simple answer. It wasn't because he saw the Malach alone. It's because he basically brought a korban without realizing it outside of the Mishkan. That's why he built the Mizbeach, because he didn't mean to bring a korban. But when the Malach touched the meat and everything, and it immediately caught on fire, he's like, oh my gosh, I just brought a korban outside. I'm chayiv kares for doing that, to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, that's not what I considered that. That I consider it to be like a whole Ras Shah. Don't worry about it. You're not chayiv for anything, and everything will be fine. That's the idea behind it. Okay. Vayibalailahu. It wasn't that night. Vayomar Hashem, and Hashem said to him, kachas parashor shel avicha. Take the par hashor, which means it was a big par, a big bull that your father owns, who parasheni shavashanim, and the second bull, which was 7 years old, varasim is bacha bala shel avicha, and you should destroy the baal, right, that your father has, as asherah shel love tichros, and the asherah tree that's on it, you got to cut it down as well. But he's mizbeach l'Hashem alkecha, build up mizbeach for Hashem al rosh ha'maoz hazeh, on top of this, you know, whatever, this flat surface over here, b'malrocha, v'lakachta v'harasheni v'alisa ola ba'atzei asherah tichros, and you're going to take the second cow, and you're going to put it on top of the wood of the asherah tree that you'll then cut down. So there's a machlokas how Gidon got this vision in the night. Was that a Kadosh Baruch Hu directly through a dream? Or was it a malach that came to him? Or was it another Navi, a Navi that came up to him and told him? Which one was it exactly? Now, there's no question that Gidon did not believe in Avodah Zarah. There's no question about that whatsoever. But both of these bowls were dedicated to Avodah Zarah. They were strong, fine bowls that were both dedicated over there. They were fed and fattened. One of them was 7 years old. It had started when they brought originally, when they first, were starting to serve the Midyanim. When the Midyanim came in, they took this bowl and they said, as soon as it ends, we're going to bring this bowl to our Baal, to the God who let it stop. But it's been 7 years and it didn't stop. It just kept going and going and going and going. So for 7 years, they kept feeding and fattening it, and that was there. They should have realized that the bull was part of the problem, but they didn't. And that's why that bull was going to be destroyed completely, because they weren't looking toward God whatsoever. What do you do with the first bull? You notice he only told them to sacrifice the second bull. What do you do with the first bull? Some say he wasn't commanded to do it at all. The Ralbag says that it was to be killed, right? Just killed, not together with anything else. The Radak says they just hid it so that it wouldn't be sacrificed to the Baal at any time soon. But it was not done the same way the second bowl was. The second bowl was going to be given as a korban to Hashem. This is going to be something else. Maybe it was also to divert their attention away from the second bowl that he was going to do over here. That's the idea behind it. Regardless, it was a sure par because it was so strong. It was such a huge, strong ox. It was a firstborn. It was beautiful, etc. Right? That's the idea behind it. He took 10 men.
Firstborn is always the strongest? Is that what
it's saying? I think so when it comes to, well, for sure, yeah, for both of us. Right? But I think so also when it comes to animals, because I've always learned that the second births that the mothers usually give in the wild are usually the weaker bunch. Third and the fourth and whatever it is. I don't know if it's true or not, but they say it's definitely true regarding the cats in Eretz Yisrael. Once you get past the first litter of those, you know, feral cats out there, they're like disgusting.
Around, like, oh, you're the oldest, you're the second oldest?
You can tell, you know, the weird looking cat. I have no idea. That's what they all said about the feral cats in Eretz Yisrael, that the older ones were fine. Once they give birth to the second and third litters, you can tell the difference. They walk strange, they were weird, everything like that.
When they breed rats for, like, science experiments, they...
Yeah.
Always take the first ones that are born from other rats and rebreed them with other firstborns.
Really? It's all firstborns?
Everything is afterwards. Strength.
Is Rachel a firstborn? Right.
It says, the second ox, you have to kill it.
What?
To the second ox, you have to kill it because it was dedicated to Avodah Zarah.
Right, so that's probable. That's how the Ralbag says it, that it was killed as well. It's just weird that it's not mentioned, isn't it? Isn't it strange that the Pasuk doesn't say a thing about that first bowl? Take the two bowls. Take the second bowl, but the first bowl?
Yeah.
Like, not mentioned anything at all. Chav Zayin. Vayikha Gidon Asara Nashim. He took 10 men, Me'avada, from his servants. Vayask Hashem Dibrei Elav Hashem. And he did what Hashem told him to do. Vayikha Asher Yorei Es Beis Aviv Ve'Asan She'ayir. He was afraid of his father's house and the people of his city, Me'asas Yomam, by doing it during the day, Vayask Laila. So he did it at night instead. Now, hold on a second. What are you afraid of? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do it. Go ahead and do it. And the answer is, he wasn't afraid of them hurting him. He was afraid of them stopping him. He wanted to do this without any interruption. If you would do it during the day, people would get in the way, and he didn't want that. So he did it in public by having 10 people around. He knew he wasn't going to keep it private. But he also didn't want to do it in the day, so he just simply put, he wouldn't be outstopped before he could finish. He knew he was outnumbered. He knew he was that, so he was smart in how he did it all together. And that's the pshat. Sometimes you got to be clever to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. So you can't just assume, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let me do it. Even Gidon understood, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it in a way where everything's going to work out. Well, sometimes people just go through it and whatever it is, but obviously the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to accomplish it. Plan it out. Know what you're going to do over here, and that's that. So that's that. That's why he brought 10 people with him. He didn't want people to think that it was stealthily done so that nobody would know that he did it. He gathered 10 men. It's a congregation. He knew they would go and tell people afterward, and he was doing that for that reason. There were 8 sins involved in this that a Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed for him at that time. Number one, it was outside the Mishkan. You're not allowed to bring a korban outside the Mishkan. Number two, it was at night. You're not allowed to bring a korban at night. Number three, he's a zor, not a kohen. Obviously, the kohen has to do it. Number four, there were no clay sharis involved. He didn't use any clay sharis. Number five, he used clay asherah. He used the kalim of the asherah tree.
Clay sharis, if Obama's already permitted, aren't those things waived anyway?
I don't know. I think by Obama, you might still need a knife that's sanctified. You might need something that's Kaddish, but I don't know. That's a good question, actually. But that was mentioned by the Gemara as one of the reasons why. Number five, it was use clay Asherah. They use the kalim of the Asherah tree. Number six, they use the wood of the Asherah tree to burn the animal. Number seven, it was a bummah, and you're not allowed to use a bummah. Number eight, either this animal was mukta, designated to avodah zarah, or nevad, served as avodah zarah. Either way, right, that's an issur to be able to do. So there were eight things that were wrong over here. Pasuk chafchas, yashkiman she'er b'avok, they got up in the morning, they knew tzitzim yizbeach, abal v'asherah, come on, right, and they... The Mizbeach of the Baal is destroyed. The Asher is destroyed. Sherlov Korosa, that it was cut on. And the second cow was brought up in the Mizbeach. And everybody said to themselves, who did this? They searched, and they found out. Gidon did it. They said to Yosh, bring out your son, and he will die. There's an interesting pasuk in this week's parsha. There's six psukim in the Torah where the word in Tanakh where hotzei is used. Hotzei is a mekalel is one. Hotzei is bincha, and the Baal HaTurim says that they wanted to stone him like the mekalel, and that's why it says the word hotzei over here. Hotzei is bincha v'yamos. He should die. He destroyed the mizbeach of the Baal. Asherah shalav, and he cut down the Asherah tree.
Love also, I mean, it's in feminine form, but tamar hotzei uha v'tisaret.
Hotziuha, right, but hotzei.
Right, but hotzei.
Just the word hotzei. Agreed, but just the word hotzei is used six times throughout Tanakh. And all of them have to do with skila. But Yomer Yoash, l'chol asher amdu alav ha'atem t'rivun l'baal. So Yoash turned. Now, there's a machlokas, how to look at Yoash over here. Yoash's father. Did Yoash believe in Avodah Zarah, and he honestly felt this way? Or was Yoash just playing with them? He believed in Avodah Zarah, but he was like, you know, whatever. And when he saw this, he's like, this is all garbage. He said to them, L'chol asher amdu alav, atem t'rivun l'baal. Are you going to fight for Baal? Im atem toshiyono so? Do you think you're going to save Baal? Asher yariv lo, right? Whoever fights for him, you must have a boker. You should die until the morning, right? Im Elohim hu, yariv lo. If he's a god, he'll fight himself. Kinas is mizbecho. His mizbech was knocked down. Let Baal fight for himself. Don't worry about it.
But that argument could be made for any deity.
It even could be made for God.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
100%. Hold on a second. But that was the line that he used, and it was a logical argument to be able to go. Vayikra lo bayomahu Yerubal. From that day on, he was known as Yerubal. He fought Baal. Lamor, Yarev Boa Baal. Kinas says his whole. He built a knockdown in his back, and therefore they fought against Baal itself. Okay. No one expected Yoash to oppose them. When they said, bring out your son, they expected him to just bring out his son, and that was going to be that. There's no question, though, that Yoash was already bribed. Why? We already said before, when Gidon went to thresh the grain, the reason why he was doing it is because his father was doing it, and he said, Dad, you're too old for this, and if the Midianim find you, they're going to kill you. Let me do it instead. That very night, or maybe the night afterward, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to destroy the Baal, and that's when he did it. Which means, the line over here is that he was trying to say specifically, something saying to him, wait, my son is an awesome guy. I don't want him to die for this. This is the worst thing in the world. But that's the idea behind it. That some say that he obviously realized right over there. The argument is total nonsense, right? The Torah says what you have to do and what you not have to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't fight his own fights, even though obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu could. The pshat is we have a chiyuv to kill anybody who desecrates God's name or does something wrong to the Mizbeach, etc. These are the soldiers that's there. But his line to them was, you guys are logical people. Does this make any sense to you? But it was an absolute garbage argument and it shouldn't
also
be out
maybe,
there. Yeah.
Maybe it has to do with the theology of Baal, because in the Torah we get the theology of God and it says, you guys have to handle this in your, you know, internally. This is, the Torah is yours. You have to adjudicate cases. Perhaps the way the Baal's, you know, theology was, it was more like he's very active good. And he's going to strike them down. So he's like, wait a second. This is his job.
This is our whole theology, right?
Maybe. I don't know the Baal theology.
Very, very good. Pasuk Lamed Gimel v'chol Midian v'amalek v'nei kedem nasvi yachtav. Now, we don't know what preceded this. Up until now, Midian has been fine with destroying the grain. They've been good with all that. And they've stayed away from hurting the Jews. They have not hurt any Jews. They didn't start any wars. But now, all of a sudden, we don't know why, but maybe it's because Gidon was gaining a following after what had happened with the Baal. Midian, Amalek, and the people of the East. That obviously refers to either B'nai Keturah or the Yishma'elim. Then Nesvi Yachtav, they gathered together, V'yavru V'yachnu B'Emek Yisrael. They passed by, they camped in Emek in the valley of Yisrael. V'ruach Hashem Lav Shaz Gidon. And a spirit of God addressed Gidon. V'yizka B'shov, and he blew on the shofar, V'yizka V'yezri Acharav, and all the people of Menashe came after him. He sent through all Menashe, and he was able to get them as well. He sent other messengers to Asher, Zvulun, Naphtali, and they all came out to greet him over here. So, now, very quickly, Ruach HaKodesh is a very strange thing. The Rambam mentions in Mori Nevuchim, Chela Gimel, that there are 10 levels of Nebuah, and the lowest level is Ruach Hashem Lavsha.
It seems like he's going down in that regard, because
up above you is a Ruach HaKodesh, a Navi, etc. Right. I don't think it's a bad thing in going down. This happened to be a lower level Nevuah. And that all Shoftim, this is what the Rambam says, all Shoftim had this. They had this Ruach Hashem. David HaMelech had it. Amasai had it. There were people that had it, but it was not actual Nevuah. There was no voice speaking to it. There was no angel, no vision. All of a sudden he just felt, it's time to go. And he came up with the level of inspiration.
He's kind of like, he got motivated and people fell in line with him. And
yeah,
he's more like,
that's it. And the Ruach Hashem is this crazy revelation that came from within. He felt it and he felt, now is the time to go. We'll see that by Shimshon quite a bit. But Asniel ben Kenaz had it already. It's a level of Ruach HaKodesh which is lower, but there's a strength. There's an irresistible desire to just go and fight. And says the Rambam, we can all have that today.
Right,
anyone can have that today.
Manifestations,
uh-huh, yeah, 100%. This is a normal thing to happen. Normal thing to happen. Now, very quickly also, by the way, the southern tribes he couldn't get. It could be the Midian cut them off completely. So he couldn't go to Ephraim or Binyamin or Yehuda or any of the people down there. He was only able to get the northern tribes because those are the only ones available to him. Midian was down there and he couldn't go anywhere down there. That's what the Das Sofrim says. V'yomer Gidon as Elohim. This is in Pasuk Lamed Vav. Gidon said to God, Im yesh komosh yabiyadi es Yisrael, if you're going to save through my hands all of Bnei Yisrael, Kashuk Yivarta, like you said, I am going to take this piece of wool and I'm going to put it in the storage house. Im tal yel giza levada, if there's dew on the Giza alone, and the rest of the ground is dry, then I know you're going to help save the Jews. And it was so. They woke up the next morning, and they squeezed the shearing, and they saw rain throughout the Giza, and they took a whole bucket full of water that was around it.
Oh, that's not divination.
So Rav Sadia Gaon in the Radak says, right, he was not asking God to prove anything whatsoever. What Gita wanted was tangible confirmation of God's promise, that there was something going to be there. He wanted to be sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really with them, so he knew that he wasn't really like that.
Now, I guess nowadays God is not promising anybody anything.
So
funny. But
I literally just gave a shiur on this past week in Parshas Kedoshim, and Gidon is used as an example. The example that's given, there's five ways that you're allowed to do Nichush, and one of the ways is if it's through the Torah or through a way where you have Kavana L'Shem Shemayim. That's the way the Gur Aryeh says it. Gidon is the example, because Gidon had pure thoughts L'Shem Shemayim. He did not mean to do it, and he compared it to Eliezer. His
but the one with Eliezer was different because, that's the one that's given the example of okay, this is because she's showing a quality that he was looking for to begin with.
You're right, but he did say, whoever does this, that is the woman that you have proven for Yitzchak. Now, it's a great quality, that's true.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with the
So fleece? Now all you need is, you got to figure out what that symbol is. What's the symbol over here? Okay. Yeah, and also, the Emek and Itziv says that he wanted to show the Jews who were going to believe in him, don't worry, you can believe in me because look at this sign. So that's the Emek and Itziv that he said he wanted to do it that way. Now, Barbanel says the symbol was this. The wool represented Gidon himself. It was small and weak. The threshing floor was large and hard. It was the rest of the world. Dew is a symbol of God's blessing. Is God's blessing going to be on the wool, or is it going to be on everybody in the world? In other words, am I going to have divine inspiration and help to be able to fight this war? Am I going to be able to do this myself, or am I going to say something else? The dew on the wool would mean I get God's blessing. God would not have mercy on the armies of Midian. Hashem would help me and not the armies of Midian. So he said, what's going to be over here? That's the Abarbanel's view. Everybody else says that the idea was the exact opposite, that the floor represented Klal Yisrael and that the wool represented Gidon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me that I have enough schus that because of me, Klal Yisrael will be saved. That I'm going to be enough for this because you're asking me to wage the war. Am I good enough for this? And that he saw when the wool was filled, I have enough schus to be able to do
what
it.
What was Rav Sadia Gaon? You started to say something about
Rav Sadia Gaon was only, he said with the Radak, that he just wanted to be sure that God was truly with him. He wanted to be sure that there was no issues whatsoever. So he can go into it with assurances, sure that everything's going to be
who
over here.
I'm
sorry?
Who were the other ones that you mentioned?
Which one? The other
five.
Rishonim?
No, you said the five people who...
Nichush. There were four other answers. This is just one of the answers. Come, God. This is just one of the answers. There are four other answers I gave there, but the Gur Aryeh is the one that gave that answer.
How do you know which one's the real one?
I'm sorry?
There were five people also who did.
So Eliezer Eved Avram is the classic one. That's the one that everybody goes to. The other form of Nichush that we have is, give me a second, Kalev, who said whoever defeats the city. That was an example of Nichush. There's also Yehonasan, the son of Shaul HaMelech. When he went up to the city, he said, if they say to us, come forward, then we should go, and if not, then we should run back. You know, so when they fought against the Plishtim. There was a couple others, but those were the classic examples.
What about the one with the red string?
What's the red string?
Where the spies went into...
why is that Nichush? That was a sign that this house was the one that they had to save. That's fine.
But the wall that was attached to that...
No, the wall came down.
The wall came down.
The house survived.
Okay.
Yeah, the house survived. That was okay. What did you say, Dave?
The word Hotzi, just going back to that.
Yeah.
Did they say that by Pilagish Begiva?
No. No, that wasn't one of the five. I have to remember. I have it in Shir for this week, so I have to just print it out. But it wasn't inside there. Here's the thing, though. Did you guys notice how the Pasuk said it? That at the end of the day, it says they squeezed the Giza and the Giza was filled with water. It didn't say that the threshing floor was dry. And the reason why is because that was the wrong thing to do. He's asking for something natural, the dew falling on the ground, to not happen. Gido did not have enough schus for that to happen. So there was water in the Giza, and it was filled with water. But the rest of the ground was filled with water as well.
But what's the miracle? It's just basically the regular
dew. Except the Giza was filled with water, so that they took it and they were able to squeeze it. Yeah, that was weird. That was weird. But for that reason, Gidon was not convinced, and that's why in Pasuk Lamed Tes, we're going to look at Al Yicharab Chabi. Please do not get angry. Vadabra Achapam. Let me speak again. Notice that's very much like when Avram spoke about the cities of Sodom. Anasin Orakapam Giza. Let me test the Giza. Let it be dry on the Giza Levadav, Al Kolor Ziatal, and let the land be tal. He understood, let it be that way, but the Giza has to be totally dry. V'yasal King Kimbalai Lahu, V'yichorav El Giza Levadav, Al Kolor Ziatal. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said 100%. This, the Abar Ben El says, the way the Abar Ben El saying it is, he looked at this and he said, okay, I understand, right, that you want a bigger sign, a greater sign, says the Abraham Ben El, then I'm willing to give you that. The other way is, do Bnei Yisrael deserve to have this miracle happen to them? I understand I have enough schos. Does Bnei Yisrael have enough schos? And Bnei Yisrael had enough schos as well. What are you going to say?
Why does God tolerate this?
That's the next one. Again, if this is Gidon trying to show who he is as a person, apparently you can't do osios.
How many more do you need?
And that's why I said Al Yichar Apcha, but he wasn't sure because, again, it didn't answer the way he wanted it to. He wanted it to be dry on the floor, and it wasn't. His thing was not answered.
But
and that's
like he's saying in the first two words of Lamed Chet.
Yeah.
Meaning that what he asked for, he got.
I definitely hear you. The only reason why is because it doesn't mention anything about the what's called the threshing floor itself. So it was that the Giza was wet, but the rest of the floor, it does not mention at all. Doesn't mention it at all. Okay, Perek Zayin, guys. And Perek Zayin, Yashkam Yerubal Hu Gidon. Yerubal got up, he's Gidon. And the reason why he's known as Yerubal is because this is the schus that he has to be able to be able to go, because he fought the Baal. He listened to Hashem and he fought the Baal. V'chol HaMashar Yitonu all the people with the Yachonol Ein Charod by Ein Charod Amachne Midian Hayu LaMitzafam Migivas Amora Ba'emek. And the camp of Midian was in the north area by Givas Amora all the way in the valley, by the hill of Mora in the valley nearby. They were so not worried about Gidon's army. They went to the valley. Normally, when you're an army, you take the higher ground. They were like, whatever, let Gidon take the higher ground. Let's make it somewhat even. Let me make it an even playing field. They weren't worried whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. Okay, so that's the idea of the hill of Mora. And Hashem said to Gidon, Rav Amashrit Chamititi es Midyam Yadam. Listen, you have too many people. This is too many people for me to give all these people into your hands. Penny Sparra La Yisrael Lemar Yadi Hoshi Ali. Maybe the people are going to glorify themselves saying, my own hand saved me over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have saved them, you know, for the merit, by the merit of their righteous ancestors, for everything out there, right? He might have done it just by Gidon itself. Gidon wanted them to deserve it themselves. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to do miracles for you, but I want a smaller army over here. He wanted encouragement. He wanted the people to see that this is miraculous. If it would have been a huge army, then they could have won naturally. It could have happened. He wants them to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. This is in Pasuk Gimel. Call out to the ears of the people, saying, whoever's afraid, Yashov, return. The Yitzpor Mehar Gilad, go back early from the people. The reason why you would go back early in the morning so that nobody will see you. Go back early in the morning. You're embarrassed? Okay, so wake up early and just walk out. Okay, you don't have to worry about it. Yashamina Am, 22,000 people got up and left. 10,000 soldiers remained. That's how many people were afraid. That is absolutely crazy that all the people were there. So some say that this is a machlokas. Were they weak people? Were they sinful people? Who was he really trying to get rid of? Either way,
would they be embarrassed?
Either way, they did that. And that's why they left early in the morning by the tzibor.
No, I know, but it's like some, I mean, 22,000, I guess if they felt like, oh, you're going to leave, I'll leave too. And
maybe
like,
it was. Yeah, maybe it was. As soon as like, they saw the flocks of people leaving, they're just like, let's go. Like, right, and that's that. But some of them probably went in a roundabout way and everything like that, and that's that. Now notice, Midian must have noticed this. They all had spies looking at each other's armies. Like, all of a sudden, the spies probably came back and were like, I don't know what just happened. Like, they had 32,000 people, or they had a lot of people, and more than two-thirds of them just left. More than two-thirds just got up and left.
But that might
so they're
make them
wondering.
Worry that it's like a surprise, weird attack. Like,
so you might have thought that way for a little bit, and then what happens? Vayomer Hashem Gidon Hashem said to Gidon, Od ha'am rav, the people are still too much. Horid osam alamayim, bring them down to the water, v'atzarfenu l'chasham, and I'm going to test them for you over there. V'ayashar omer eilecha zeh yelech itach, whoever I tell you should go with you, hu yelech itach, v'chosh omer eilecha zeh lo yelech imach, hu lo yelech. Those people that I tell you not to do, I don't want them to do. There were still many idolaters with them. There were still many people that were still Ovid Avodah Zarah, and that's why a Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to go through. And
now it's back to Vayom HaShem El Gidon.
Yeah, 100%. There was a straight-out nebuah. There's no question. The Ruach HaShem was just at that moment. But this is a straight-out nebuah. Now, over here as well, here's the reason why these guys were so bad. They didn't even know they were doing something wrong. Like, Gidon went up and said, guys, if you worship Avodah Zarah, I don't want you here. So 22,000 people got up and left. The other 10,000, 9,700 of them were still Ovdei Avodah Zarah, or 9,700 of them, yeah. 9,700 of them still worshipped Avodah Zarah. But they didn't even know they were doing Avodah Zarah. They were sitting there like, no, we worship Hashem through this idol. Like, and that's what they were thinking. So they didn't even know they were doing something wrong. If you would go up to them, they wouldn't have any idea. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted them out, because if he's going to have a miracle happen, he doesn't want it to happen through Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's the idea behind it. Now again, Gidon could have picked them out literally and just said, like, you out, right? And he could have said that. But he didn't want to hurt their feelings. He wanted it to happen in such a way. How is this going to happen over here? So it's not going to be a command. He said, here's the people that are going to remain with me. Okay? You guys, everybody else, I don't want you in the army.
You could have just, like, posted the team on the bulletin
board. Posted the team, exactly. Right, here's my team of 300, you know, the team that ends up going through.
Yeah, everybody, like, crowding around, like.
It's pretty good. Yeah, everybody's looking around. Is my name on there? Right, all 10,000 people. Plus, okay, by yours, Amalamayim, he brought down the people of the water, by Yomar Hashem, Gidon. I never tell you, like, when I was a senior, I'd made the team, the basketball team, for 2 years straight when I was in high school. My third year, my senior year, they took me out during the practices and just had me sit down on the bench, right? So they just, because usually they do that when you're automatically on the team, they just sit you down. And then they posted the team, and I was like, it's fine. I'm for sure in. I was sitting with all the guys on the team, and I wasn't put on the team. He just had me sit out because he didn't want me on the team and he didn't want me to try out any longer. So he sat me down on the side. And I still remember the shock of looking at that piece of paper and saying, I didn't make it? How in the world did that happen? And I remember calling the coach, and the coach said, yeah, it was really hard. I'm like, what? I still remember it. It's still, and I hate that guy. So anyway, that goes through. So I can't imagine that would have been there. But Yehoshua to Amal Amayim, he brought down the people to the water. But Yomar Hashem Ogin, Hashem said to Gidon, Kol Asher Yalok Bil Shono Min Amayim, Kishalok Akelev. Anybody who licks from the water the way a dog licks from the water, Tatsiko Solovat, keep them to the side. Kol Asher Yichral Berkov Lishtos. And then there's other people who bend down on their knees to drink. The people that licked with their hands to their mouths, Shlosh Meshis, with only 300 people, the rest of them bent down on their knees to drink water. Now, there's a big shaila in the Rishonim. What is going on here? Look at the wording over here. Anybody who licks like a dog are the good guys? Those are the good guys? Why would that be?
They're not bowing to Avodah Zarah.
But that's still weird to lick like a dog, and they're like, that guy's positive. You would have thought that licking like a dog would be a bad thing. You're lapping up with your tongue?
Yeah, but it seems like what he meant was from Pasuk Vav, it seems like what he meant was they were taking their hands and then lapping it up from their hands. They weren't like going down and lapping.
So there is an opinion that says that those who are doing it with their hands, and that's what it means by the dog, even though a dog licks it up, a human being would go like that, and that's what it means. Those are the good guys. And the other ones who bent down on their knees and bent down that way, that was the way of Avodah Zarah, so they did it that way.
One
but there's such...
One can be bending down anyhow.
Wouldn't you? Well, for sure. The question is how to go. Would you lie down on your stomach in order to drink, or would you go down on your knees as if you're bowing down? But then there's another line. Both of the people mentioned in Pasuk Hey are bad. If they lap it up like a dog, or they bend down on their knees, those are bad. But if they do it al pihem, right, that's the good one. And those are the people that are only 300 of those. I'm going to take those guys who are malakim with their hands. And everybody else just went back. The Akedah says a very strange thing. This test was to eliminate those who were lazy. And they were lazy by just going out. They immediately threw themselves down in the water and threw themselves into the water in order to drink. Those are the bad guys, that they threw themselves down there. You should be a person who's waiting a little bit. And even though you're not going to get as much, to go like that as well. Right? I do this all the time with drinking fountains in the yeshiva to make sure good guys are the guys that drink normally and the bad guys are the guys that put their mouth on the drink fountain itself. I'm joking. But the idea is that those guys are right there. Clearly, those who put their mouths on drinking fountains are Ovid of Uruzara. And disgusting. There's no question. Yeah, it, no reason. like this. No. That would be even better.
Or,
oh, my God.
But then your hand is dirty.
I remember a
guy coming up to me once as I was drinking from a drinking fountain. And he said, like, a rub drinks without a cup? And I was just like, oh, my gosh, yes, I hear you. So from then on, I use a cup for a drinking fountain because this guy said it. So I don't drink directly from a drinking fountain.
Was it another rabbi or was it?
No, it was a guy. It was a guy. And I was like, okay, I hear you. I'll take your musser. It was about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. You know him, Yaakov. I don't want to say who it is, but yeah.
The O'Hare water fountains where you have the cup.
The cup itself. Oh, no, that's disgusting. Vayichu es seda on, pasuk chas. Vayichu es seda on biadam. They took all the provisions of the people in their hands, meaning everything that was left of those other 9,700 that just left, that's shofar sam, as well as all their shofars. V'eskol ish yisrael, shalach yisrael olav, and everybody else, they just went home. Shalosh me'ez ish haksik, he kept the 300 machna midian ha'yolam itachas ba'emek, and the camp of Midian was down there in the valley itself. They took all the horns. On that night, go down to the machne. I put them into your hands. Unbelievable. And if you're too afraid to go, you and Fura should go down to the camp by yourselves. You should hear what they're saying. Afterwards, strengthen your hands. And go down to the machne yourself. And you should go down to the area, to the edge of the armed men that were in the camp itself. Remember, the armed men at the edge of the camp are usually the strongest, the most powerful, because the weaker people you put on the inside, but the strongest are on the outside. But it's unbelievable. Kadosh Baruch is like, you might need another sign. If you need another sign, go down yourself. Unbelievable. Midian, v'amalavachol b'nei kedem noflim ba'emek, arbel orov. They were like the locusts. There were so many of them over here. Gamaleim emispor. And the amount of camels that they had over here, no number. No number to them. Kechol asher sasiyam. It was like literally lorov. Like the sand on the bank of the sea. That's how many there were. V'yevo gidmi and eish misap l'reo chalom. They sat down there. Gidon came, right? And the idea behind it, right? And it said, they were telling over their dream. I dreamt a dream. There was a thing of barley bread that was rolling around the camp of Midian. It came to the Ovayake when it knocked it down. You know, like the Indiana Jones with the big rock that comes down. Like, it was going down and destroying everything. Right? And everything fell. You know what that is? That's the sword of Gidon ben Yoash Ish Yisrael. It must mean that Gidon is going to defeat our entire army. That's what they were saying to themselves. As soon as Gidon heard that, he was like, oh, that's good. Pura was too scared to even go down to the camp. Gidon went down by himself. That's why it says specifically, Yavo Gidon, that Gidon himself over there, that's what it was over here. They got the strongest guys on the outside. The reason why the bread was Gidon is that it got stronger and stronger as it kept going. It was a small piece of barley bread. And then it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And once again, because it was Pesach, that's why it was barley bread, because barley is what they reaped in Pesach. That's on Pesach time. Shavuos is the wheat, but barley is right over here. And some say it's because of the schus of the Korban Omer that they brought, even when they didn't have enough money, and the Midianim were going after them, that schus of the Korban Omer, that allowed them to be able to do this.
I kind of interpret it as barley is inferior to wheat, so meaning that like Gidon with this 300 men or small and whatever,
are still going to defeat. Right. Very good, very good. V'yikishmal Gidon is misparach halom. When Gidon heard, you know, the story of the dream, as Shivro and the translation, by Yishtachu, they bowed down, by Yashavu Machne Yisrael, and then they thanked Hashem immediately. Then they returned back to Machne Yisrael, by Yomakumu, Kinas Shem, Yerkam, Es Machne Minyan, we're ready. By Yachas, Shosh Melzah, Ish, Shosh Roshim. He divided them up into three different parts. By Yitin Shofers, Biyar Kulim, he gave shofers to all of them, the Kadim Rekim, and empty pitchers. By Lapinim, Besoch HaKadim, they put the flames, the torches inside the Kadim. By Yomar, let me many tiru, see what I do, by Chain Tasu, do what I do, by Hina Anochi, Babik, Tzeh HaMachan, and go into the edge of the camp, by Yikasher Es. What I do, you do. I'm going to blow on my shofar. batzel shofros. All of you should blow your shofros. Gam atem tzivios kol amachne. V'amartem l'Hashem l'gidon. Yell out loud, l'Hashem l'gidon. You're going to yell that out loud. Three of them. Three heads, not four. The Rambam and Hilchos Melachim paskins from this, that you always have to leave an open spot for people to run away if they want to run away. They want to run away. If it's a Mochames mitzvah, that's a different story, like a Malik or the Kananim, etc.
But, isn't this like
but
a
in a regular
Mochames,
even so, yeah, it might be also, you're right. But even so, says the Rambam, you should always leave a place. And he says it's mistaber. Why is it mistaber? Because when a person feels like he's closed in and he can't get out, right, he's going to fight even harder. He's going to fight even harsher. He's going to be like, no, I won't fight. That's what's going to happen over here. So they went ahead and they did that. And that's the idea behind it. So here we go. There was, Gito knew that his generation was not righteous. They didn't merit a miracle. And therefore, they had to do some type of strategy. This was the strategy. And there were five parts to this strategy. Number one, attack at night so they can't see us. Because if they saw us, they'd know how much we are. Number two, three different companies. We would approach them all around so they'd think that they were surrounded. Number three, the torches and everything. Each torch and each horn represents a division. So they would think there's more people there than just the 300 people that are blowing on shofars, right? They wouldn't assume that every soldier actually was equipped that way. Number four, they would break them at the same time to make a huge noise, and all of a sudden there's lights as if they came upon them all of a sudden. And number five, they all shout together mentioning Gidon's name because he already knew that his name was known by the Midianim, so they were already scared of him. And that's the idea behind it. And again, he also knew, and number six, there's another strategy over here. They also knew that 22,000 people had left, and then another 10,000 people had left, right? 9,700 altogether. They knew that this army was absolutely nothing. So they have already been lax in their preparations, and now they'll think everybody came back all of a sudden, and that it was all a ruse, and they'd be scared out of their mind. That's the idea behind it. Okay, next. Pasuk Yotes. Gidon came in the 100 men that were with him, Biktzeh HaMachna, to the edge of the camp. Rosh HaShemar HaSitichon, in the beginning of the middle watch. Achakeme Kimu at Shomrim, but he had set up all the guards. Vayitzku B'Shofers, and they blew out the Shofers, and Nefel Tzakadim HaShem B'Yodam, and they scattered all the pitchers that were in their hands. Vayitzku Shlosh Del Roshim B'Shofros, right? And all the three heads, they blew on their Shofers. Vayishbro Akadim, and they broke them. Vayitzku B'Yad Smolim B'Lapidim, and they had in their left hand all of their torches. A sword to Hashem and to Gidon. Anybody notice anything wrong over here?
So they added the word cherev.
Well, very quickly though, what was in the right hand? Shofars. What was in the left hand?
Torch.
Okay, where's their sword?
Sheath.
They weren't fighting. They just ran in. They're just like, we're ready.
No, but
that's that.
Oh, it says they already broke
it. It's unbelievably crazy. But they weren't carrying a sword. None of them had their swords in their hands. Vayamdu ish tachtov saviv l'machne. They stood right there. Vayoretz kol ha'machne v'yiriv yanisu. All of a sudden, all the people ran away. Because the people were all like, we don't have anything to worry about. They were all sleeping. Vayizku shlosh me'el zeshofer v'yosem ha'shem escherev ish bereyu. And all of a sudden, the sword of a friend went against his own friend. They started killing each other. U'b'chol ha'machne, in all the camp, vayonos ha'machne ad beis ha'shita, they all went to beis ha'shita, tzrei rasa, ad tzvas evo machola, ad tabas, all the way to the area of Tabas. It was in the middle watch where everybody was asleep and everything like that. Chazal Rashi says that the shofar was to remind them of Matan Torah, right, to be able to have that. That's the idea behind it. By the way, you know what stood to their advantage? The Midianim, Amalekim, and Easterners were all together. Different languages and different armies. They had no idea what the Jews looked like. They had no idea. So when they saw somebody from another army, they started hitting each other thinking, oh my gosh, that's a Jew. And they were like,
wait,
a Jew.
No horns. So
I'm sorry?
Nobody had horns, so they shouldn't have thought anybody was a Jew.
No, but the other people around? Oh, I get it. Yeah, you meant the horns on top of the head. I got it. Took me a little bit. But you tell me, Ishi saw me, Naphtali, and Asher, and Kol Menashe, and Yerufa, and Midian. Then all the Jews from Naphtali and Asher and Menashe. So when this happened, the 300 people started a route. All of a sudden, Asher, Menashe, Naphtali, all the people that were kicked out of the army were like, well, now we can join. Now we can get spoils. So they ran in to run into the fight because now they can get spoils. They chased after Midian. Messengers. Gidon sent throughout all of Har Ephraim. Lamor, redo the quest Midian. Catch Midian. Don't let them cross the river at Beis Bar until the area of Beis Bar. Yarden in the Jordan River. And the men of Ephraim came. Because up until now, he couldn't get to Ephraim because there were Midian in the way. Now he could get to Bnei Ephraim. So he sent messages down there. They captured the Mayim at Beis Bar. Midian is Orev as Ave. They captured the two officers of Midian, Orev and Zave. Obviously, they were named by animals. One was known as Raven. The other one was known as Wolf. They clearly were strong men. But Yargu is Orev Bitzur. Orev as Zev, Horgabi Yakev Zev. It was ironic that the area where Orev was killed was called Tsur Orev. Obviously, the rock of Orev was named because he was killed there. Zev was killed in Yakev Zev. By Yirdevoel Midian, they ran to Midian. The Rosh Orev was Eve Viol Gidon Everyar, and they brought the heads of Orev and Zev to Gidon himself, which is awesome, absolutely awesome, because we all love severed heads. And they brought them over to him. Perek Ches, guys. By Yomrei Lev Yishaphraim. Yishaphraim, the men of Ephraim, went up to Gidon and said, Ma Dover Azaz Sisolanu? What did you do to us? Levilti Kros Lanu. Why didn't you call us? You went to wage war with Midian, and they battled with them fiercely. They were like, Gidon, why didn't you call us? Why didn't you call us? So there are two ways that Gidon could have responded to this. Gidon could have been like, dude, are you kidding me? I couldn't get a hold of you. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to get a hold of you up until now. But listen, you're here now. At least you're able to come. As soon as I could call you, I did. That was the reaction he could have had. But Gidon was such an unav, as we said before, that was one of the similarities between him and Moshe Rabbeinu. Such an unbelievable unav that he said, absolutely not. He said, Oy, Vayomar Aleim, Ma Sisi Ata, what did I do right now, Kachem, like what you guys have already done? Halotovo, Los Ephraim, Ibatzer Avieser. Even the lowliest grapes of Ephraim are greater than the vintage of Aviezer, of Menashe. You guys are so much better than me, right? You guys killed Orev and Zev. I wasn't able to do that. Wow, you guys are terrific. Thank you so much for coming. B'edkom nasan alukim asari Midian. You got in your hands, it was given the officer of Midian as Orev and Zev. Mayachol diasos kachem, what could I do like you guys? Oz Ruf Saruchem. So they're like, yeah, he's right, he's right. It's right. Me'ala b'dabro adavar zeh, when they spoke out these things. We all know, right, a soft answer. Mane rach meshiv chema. A soft answer turns around wrath. And that's exactly what happened over here. It turned around the anger that they had over here. And although they should have been grateful for him, but then, even then, they understood and that was okay and everything was like that. Some say that Gidon was being 100% sarcastic. Right, and he really meant it the opposite way, but either way, they got it. But Yavo Gidon Erdena, over who Shlosh Meos Ishishorito, he came with 300 men that were with him. Ayefim, they were weary as anything, Verodfim, still chasing after him. Yomar Anshe Sukkos, and he said to the men of Sukkos, remember Sukkos, guys? That's the area that Yaakov Avinu set up when he was waiting to go into Eretz Yisrael. He made the area called Sukkos. There were tons of thorns around there, which is why he brought his sheep and cattle around there to eat, right? There were tons of thorns around there. He said, Tuna kikros lechem la'am, please give loaves of bread to the people. Asher broglai darabayim ki ayefim, and they're tired. Anochi rodef akhori zevach tzamuna malchim Midian. I'm chasing after zevach tzamuna. He don't even say, I'm not asking for myself. I don't need any food. I'm going to continue chasing after, but my men are starving. Can you give them some food? So the people of Sukkos, they said, are Zevach and Samuna in your hands? That we should give your army any bread? You know, what if they win? Then what? They're going to come and take revenge against us. So now we'd rather remain neutral.
Are these Jews?
Way to go. They are Switzerland.
No.
Yeah. Yes, they are Jews. They are 100% Jews. And it says, "V'yomer Gidon l'chein b'sis shama zevach zamuna b'yadi." When Hashem puts zevach zamuna in my hands, v'dashias b'sarchem eskozi amid b'res barkanim, that I'm going to thresh your flesh together with the thorns of the desert, as well as all these briars and whatever, everything like that. Gidon understood. He was an unbelievable Rachman and an unbelievable Anav, but he understood this is not the time for mercy. How dare you? When we already have defeated almost the entire army through a massive miracle, and you're sitting there and you're telling us no because maybe you're not going to defeat the rest of them? How dare you? He said, this is not the time. He 100% saw that their hearts were callous and cruel, that they were not moved by the sight of a hungry army that had just done an unbelievable miracle for them. So he said, okay, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to let this go. And Pasuk Ches, Vayal Misham Penuel, went to Penuel, Vayidaber Elen Kozos, he said the same thing. Vayanos Anshe Penuel, the people of Penuel said, Kesher Anu Anshe Sukkos, like the people at Sukkos said. Vayirgan Lanshe Penuel Lemor. So the same thing. So he said to the people of Penuel, Beshuvi Beshalom, when I come back in peace, at Totz the Migdal Zed, this tower that you rely on, that you've been relying up until now, that you thought that you'd be okay because of that tower itself, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy it. They weren't as bad as Sukkos. He promised to kill the people in Sukkos, or at least, you know, thresh their flesh, right? Over here, he's not telling them he's going to kill them. He says he's going to destroy their Migdal, because these guys are not saying we're going to remain neutral. They just said, we're not coming out of our tower. That's the idea behind it, right? They're going to continue to resist Midian, unlike Sukkos, who are going to give in to Midian itself. But the problem was they trust in their tower. So he said, all right, then I'm going to destroy your tower. We'll finish off over here, guys. Pasuk Yud. Zevach Zamunu Bakarkor. Zevach Zamunu were in Karkor. Machneim Imam Kachamesh Dasar Elef. 15,000 people left. Kol Anu Sarmi Kol Machneim Bedi Kedavan Noflim Mea Ve'Esrim Elef. 120,000 people dead. by this time. Those are the men that were holding onto their swords. Out of 135,000 men that came to fight, 15,000 were left. That is a miracle beyond any proportion. It's unbelievable how many people were left over here. And that's the idea behind it. Gideon went way by the way of the tent dwellers. The east of Novach, the Yogbaha. The camp was secure. They thought, there's no way he's coming in through the other area. There's no way he's coming around. But Gideon went around and destroyed them all. And Zevah Zamunah, who were leaders, but they were wimps as anything, they ran away. And therefore he put the whole camp into panic itself, right? And that's that. Some say that he learned from the nomads how to get them in the middle of the night. He didn't know how to get there. So he talked to the nomadic tribes that were there. That was the Ohali, right? The people out there. And that's how he was able to go through. And they were completely unprepared over here. Gideon considered this a holy mission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore would not stop until they were dead over here, and that's why they kept going. There is halacha that kings are not killed after the battle's over. That was halacha, a minig at the time that they had. I shouldn't say halacha, but a minig that they had at the time. And now, yeah, that was like that, that they wouldn't kill them afterward. The difference is these guys deserted their posts, and therefore Gideon wanted them killed. And so, Yashav Gideon ben Yosh min ha-mokom le-mamalei ha-charetz. As soon as sunrise came, Gideon returned. For one day, they were chasing after, and in one day, they defeated everybody. Some say, in 6 hours, it was over. 6 hours, it was over.
Wait, Achav was killed?
That. I'm sorry?
Achav was killed in battle?
In battle. I'm saying after the battle's over.
Oh, after the battle.
That Zevach Zemunah were captured, but they weren't killed in battle. So are you allowed to kill them afterward? We'll see over there. But this is absolutely crazy. If it's 6 hours, that's ridiculous. 24 hours is a little bit more believable because of how far they ran. 12 hours, maybe it means sunset, is still weird, but maybe it's going to be over there. Notice, by the way, also that he's called Gideon ben Yoash. Yoash is an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. We're mentioning his name over here. It's because even though he's an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, he clearly had either done tshuva or he raised Gideon the way he did, and therefore he's this good. That seems to be something that we should be appreciative of, even though it wasn't the greatest thing in the world. We'll stop with that, guys. We're up to Parak Ches Pasuk Yedda.